Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's freaking go. They came after Garrett Nussmeier because of a simple quote about Kyle Field. I need you to come closer, baby. Garrett should have stood firm with what he had to say about one of college football's most vaunted venues, but he set the record straight. No beef whatsoever. And a little bit later, you'll hear from Brian Kelly about what scares him about the Texas A&M Aggies. Let's go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Come Everything on. Gonna get the power, it's the power. Power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. You were caught it, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power.
LSU with Carter.
I mean, obviously, we acknowledge, you know, it's a tough environment. It's a tough place to play. It's going to be loud. It's going to be exciting, you know. But, you know, like I said before the Ole Miss game, you know, it's real easy to get caught up in the extracurriculars of what this game means, you know, and you know, all the different things that play into it. And, you know, we can think about those all week and then lose the football game and then it won't matter. So, you know, like I've said many, many times, you know, for us, we're playing a football game this Saturday. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be loud. You know, that's going to be the environment. Doesn't matter what it means. Doesn't matter, you know, who we're playing. We're playing a football game and we're focused on us. We're focused on executing the best of our ability and attacking our opponent.
Yeah, there we go. So there was a clip from this offseason where Garrett Nussmeier said, hey, look, Tiger Stadium is loud. It's the best. And Kyle Field is not Tiger Stadium. That's basically what the clip said. What it lacks is the context, right? It was when Kyle Field was voted the most difficult place to play in all of college football, and Tiger Stadium was voted number three, according to the EA Sports experts that did their own research when it comes to crowd noise. So that was Garrett Nussmeier giving a political answer, and he should have just said Kyle Field ain't got nothing on Tiger Stadium. Okay, so everyone freaked out because a quarterback for LSU of the team that is everyone's favorite place to go to watch a college football game, which is Tiger Stadium. I say everyone, but most national pundits from ESPN, Barstool, whoever you want to talk to, vote Tiger Stadium as the number one place to consume a night college football game. In fact, the college football tour expert, Michael Barkley, who, by the way, he just achieved 134 college stadiums. That is absolutely crazy. We posted about it on Twitter. He also put Tiger Stadium as the premier destination to watch a college football game. All right. The bottom line is people freaked out. They shared it. The Texas A&M fans, they're trying to attack Garrett to try and add a little extra juice from a quote months ago. And Garrett took the high road. He shouldn't have taken the high road, but he did. Now, on Patreon, you could see my full thoughts and prediction, a few extra things that I want to include in this show. And on top of that, for our non-patrons, I did release a full 10-minute long film study on some film things that I would do if I were Joe Sloan versus this Texas A&M defense. So I feel Garrett Nussmeier has a good matchup if one thing were to happen. And that is in the film study from earlier today. It's more of a strategy thing. I do want to talk about the overall culture of this game. You know, a few years ago, we really viewed Texas A&M as LSU's rival. It became the rivalry week game. They spat on the Arkansas Golden Boot rivalry, and they tried to force LSU and A&M being a real rivalry played on rivalry week. And I hated that. It felt so unfreaking believably forced. And in essence, we really haven't played a whole lot of legendary games against each other. Now, last year's game was very interesting. It was a big game because of the Heisman Trophy race, and it was competitive. It was close. And then, obviously, the game last year kind of mimicked the game the year before, where it was kind of close, but A&M was always going to win that game, even though our team was better than theirs that year. And over the last 7 years, the home team has won this game going back to 2018, right? Where there was the craziest game LSU may have ever played, the 7-overtime game. But outside of that, you know, the history between LSU and Texas A&M is nothing like truly crazy, right? It's like nothing that makes you go, wow, these two teams are meant to play each other on rivalry week. And then guess what? Texas joins, and Texas and Texas A&M should be each other's rivals. It should. They should be each other's rivals. We are not A&M's rival. I don't know if I even put A&M on a top three annual matchup for us every year. But it's kind of become a thing. Because obviously there are a lot of kids that we recruit that are in Texas A&M's recruiting footprint. There are quite a few players for Texas A&M that LSU once had committed to their school. Bryce Anderson, their star safety, being one of them. So I got to be honest. I don't get as excited about this game as I do others. But no matter how you cut it, this is the marquee matchup. As we say hi to Blake, he says, God, I love you. Let's get to the ESPN. Hey, I appreciate it. I actually did get off a call, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. I actually got shafted. I hired a team of editors, and they basically stole my money. All right, I don't want any sympathy, though. It was on me. Should have never done it. So another editor saw that happen. He reached out, and I might have a new partner here pretty soon, okay? I did lose a lot of money, though. It looks like I'm about to lose a lot of money. Nurse Corps, one of my BFFs, very glad to call her a friend. Jason, what's up? Mick, who's been with us for a while. Blake, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. So this $20 is like definitely helpful towards it. Not close to the amount of money I lost. In fact, well, I won't get into this whole spiel. Now, before we go any further, this needs to be clear. I don't want anyone to get mad. There will be no pregame or halftime show for Saturday night's game. We will have a postgame, though. We will have a postgame. So no pregame, no halftime show. We will have a postgame, and we will be doing some content on Power Hour SEC earlier in the day. But there is something I have to go do, and I will be somewhere, and I will not be able to do pregame and halftime. So late postgame on Saturday night, and of course, I have a lot to say about it. Now, I got to be real with you. I went to Kyle Field. It is awesome. It is awesome. I love the uniqueness of Texas A&M, right? You know, there is a lot of carryover and similar feel from college stadiums to college stadiums. You know, you go to any SEC campus, they're beautiful. Like most campuses are just beautiful campuses. Okay. I truly do believe that LSU will be in a spot where they will feel the energy of Kyle Field, and they will also feel the importance of this game for them. I want this to also be clear. This is the biggest game in a while for Texas A&M. I would say probably since 2021 Alabama, this is their biggest game. Right? With the Jimbo era, you know, losing to Appalachian, and then the year before going 5-7, basically, they really haven't had the year that you would expect them to. Okay? There you go, Blake. Can we stop their run? He said, lunch on you. Appreciate your content a ton. Hey, Blake, I appreciate it as well. Like I said, your super chats are the main reason. It's my main source of income on here, right? I try and keep this as like spot free, ad free as I possibly can, but a boy's got to eat. So your donations do go a long way. So Blake wants to talk about their run game. So let's get into it. All right. Now, first thing about the Texas A&M rushing attack is they are nasty up front. This is a very good run blocking unit, but their most gifted run blocker is someone that we recruited, right? A top 100 offensive lineman by the name of Chase Basantis. And I talked about him quite a bit yesterday. He's good. He is really good. He is out. He is out for this game. So one thing that's going to limit their run game is they actually do something that the Saints do a lot of, and it's something that we have tried to incorporate to a certain extent, which is putting another offensive lineman on the field. All right. Courtney, thank you so much, Nurse Court. I appreciate it. We have got to chat. We haven't caught up in a while since Vegas. But, and I wish everyone could go to Vegas. We're on this Jared and a few other PHLers. And it, like Vegas, the strip is great, but Fremont is insane. You got people zip lining on top of your head. There's a live band on every corner. I'll tell you, Vegas is the best city in America behind New Orleans. Okay. Well, behind Baton Rouge, of course, that's my home city. Well, behind Baton Rouge and New Roads, those are the two best cities in the world. Okay. But truth be told, Blake, you know, I'll tell you this. Okay. Cam Dewberry is a good player. Number 75. That was someone that we recruited. And we got somewhat close to landing him. I actually like him a lot just as a person, right? I've listened to his interviews. And one thing I liked is like his playing time has gone down. And he's kind of been used as like a sixth offensive lineman. I've done a few Texas A&M film studies. The truth is, okay, Cam Dewberry was their sixth offensive lineman off the bench, and on the sideline, he cheered. He cheers for the players that took his snaps. This guy's a good player. Trey Zune, their left tackle, is damn good. He is just a damn good football player. If it wasn't for Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks, by far the two best offensive tackles in the SEC, he's probably number three. This dude pitched a shutout last week versus Mississippi State. Number 60 is a really good player. So, Blake, you know, as far as their rushing attack, their offensive line's really good. They're a really, really good group. You know, would I say their offensive line is better than ours? I wouldn't say that. But they're good. They're good. So we start there. And the next thing about their rushing attack, and I was going to save this for this live stream, it's not in the film study, is Marcel Reed is still a factor, okay? Number 10, the backup quarterback for Texas A&M. Connor Wigman did not play well last week. Threw two really bad interceptions. He also did some really good things, but threw two bad picks. They could use Marcel Reed in the run game. All right? Especially if Connor Wigman continues to struggle. So that also needs to be discussed because so much of our focus has been on Connor. But then we have to talk about the running backs themselves. Another wild card before we talk about the backs is Terry Bussey. Another guy we recruited really hard. Another guy we felt pretty good about landing, you know, picking Texas A&M. Okay. We went pretty hard for Terry Bussey, a five-star. He plays both sides of the football. Unreal athleticism. Think of him as like a Xavion Thomas type of athlete, right? Just a good athlete, only in year one of his career. So that is another factor. But let's go through this running back room. Reuben Owens is probably the back that most thought would be the leader of this room. He gets hurt. He's been out for the season all year. So the two big backs are Daniels, number five, a really solid back. But Le'Veon Moss out of South Louisiana is really, really, really good. Now, did we recruit him? Yes. There's a lot to that recruitment that is not discussed. But, you know, I understood. Okay. I understood why he decided to go out of state. I understood. Okay. I would much prefer him, of course, to be playing for LSU. This is a top 10 running back in all college football in rush yards after contact per Pro Football Focus analysis. All right. Now, after contact averages are subjective, right? It's something that you do have to chart and it could get very tricky. But Le'Veon Moss is really good at breaking tackles. He is tough to bring down. And it is tougher to bring down these kinds of backs when you're on the back end of a back-to-back road game. And that is what concerns me. And that's why, you know, a few weeks ago, I said the likelihood that LSU goes Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M 3-0 is low. But here we are 2-0. But I didn't like knowing that we were going to play two physical games and then have to play the most physical back on our schedule. But there is hope. We did not have to expound a lot of energy last week. It was a rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Koshon Delay in Fayetteville. And we were at the door with a W. And your boy was there to see it. Now, as many of you know, I have never gotten as many compliments as I did on our post-game show last week. Okay. That was the drunkest post game show I've ever done. I in fact never drink during games, but I was at the game at my best friend's tailgate, got a new partner for our SEC channel. And I was there obviously for business. So, you know, meet some SEC viewers, meet some LSU viewers. There's quite a few LSU viewers that we have in Northwest Arkansas. And I was trashed. I'll be honest. I was trashed. And when I was at the post game show, I did a quick rewatch of like just some highlights. But the truth is, I wasn't able to fully watch a game. I was just kind of being a fan, like just cheering. And I was in an entire visiting section. There's a few people wanting to punch my face. That's perfectly fine. But that's okay. But once I sobered up, I realized I was like, wait, you know what? Our defense really wasn't on the field for that long. And then I decided to look at the raw plays. We only played 50 plays defensively. And in theory, we really only played 40. Honestly, we only really played 40 because Arkansas had, six or so snaps at the end of the game versus our third stringers. They really didn't have to play the fourth quarter at all. And they went 3-and-out. So, really, I mean, it was about like 40 to 43 reps our actual first-teamers had to run. That's massive. Because the week before versus Ole Miss, we played 84 reps. 84 defensive reps. So, when you add those two together, it comes out to about, 160 184 plus 40, 120 reps, which gets us back to the average amount of plays that we play per game, which is 60. So part of defending the run, especially if you're going up against Le'Veon Moss, who is a freaking load, you have to tackle well. And this is something that Skipper's brought up in our Patreon Discord wrap up. Okay. In every walk of life, wrap up. Safety first. Bring them down to the ground. Okay. Literally, name one instance when wrapping up is bad. Okay. Wrap up. If it's Christmas Eve and the presents are just sitting there, wrap that bitch up. If your speech is going way too long in a graduation ceremony and the students are sitting there in gowns in 90-degree temperatures and Granny is fanning herself down with the graduation program, you as a speaker need to do one thing. Wrap it up. Wrap up. That is very true. Nurse Court after the A&M game was on the show last year. That's awesome. Tyler, it's good. And then obviously, in the most important scenario, ask Tyreek Hill. Ask Nick Cannon. Ask Antonio Cromartie, who used to be the DB coach at Texas A&M. Wrap up. And when you face Le'Veon Moss, wrap that up. That dude is a freaking monster. And I will tell you this. I will tell you this. When I sat down to watch him today, I did not think I'd walk away as impressed. I did not. Okay? He's good.
He's really good.
And when I look at the schedule and look at who we've played up to this point, I'm a little bit higher on Woody Marks of USC. I'm also a big fan of Jaquindon Jackson, but he was hurt when he played us last week. I got to be honest. Rocket Sanders is good at South Carolina, too. Montrell Johnson's good. I think Le'Veon Moss is the best back we'll play this year. I'm serious. I'm serious. But we got an answer for him, Blake. And his name is Whit freaking Weeks. His name is Whit freaking Weeks. Okay. Let's go to Logan. Was the hangover rough? Okay. So this is kind of weird, and I don't recommend this for anyone. All right. So I drank pretty heavily, and, you know, towards the end, I was like, okay, I really got to go do a post-game show. And then we had the Taco Bell instance, all right? We had the Taco Bell incident, and it got crazy, all right? We shared the Taco Bell story. We don't need to run it back. It was really that traumatic of an experience for me, and I'm still sore. I'm serious. I won't get into the details again. I stayed up all night, drank a lot of water. I was fine. I really was fine. The problem was I didn't sleep. So Haley had to drive a good bit of the way back from Fayetteville. But I literally cut 5 film studies. So when I got back at 2 in the morning, I had to quickly speed through Tennessee, Alabama, cut a film study. Then I had to cut the Arkansas LSU film study. I had to finalize a deal with a partner for the SEC channel. And then I had to cut the LSU film study, which is longer, which is the one I take obviously the most serious. I take all of them serious, but I really locked in and cut that film study. Okay. And then I look, I was like, it's 8 in the morning. It's 8 in the morning. I was like, we got to go. So I hopped in the shower. We got in the car, drove back. I really wasn't as bad as I thought. I also drank a lot of seltzers, all right? Also drink a lot of seltzers. So I don't think seltzers give you as bad of a hangover. And the funny thing is, I hate seltzers. There was one brand of seltzer in Arkansas named Scarlet Letter. And what was really cool about the Scarlet Letters is the only flavor of Scarlet Letter I even like are the purple ones, right? So not only was I drinking Scarlet Letter, it also matched my fit. Let's go to Sam. Sam says, Le'Veon Moss, Santana Moss, Randy Moss, F them all, 31-21 Tigers. And obviously not F them all, Randy Moss, of course, the freaking GOAT. He is the best wide receiver I've ever seen. Jerry Rice had a better career. Randy Moss will always be the best wide receiver I've ever seen. Okay? Randy Moss might not only be the best wide receiver I've ever seen. Randy Moss is the best football player I've ever watched. Any position, he is the best. Randy Moss is number one. I still, to this day, don't think Randy Moss ever ran full speed. I'm serious. Like, don't you just, like, Vince Young had that quality. It never really, like, they were so smooth as athletes. It never really felt like that they were actually running. Like, I still, to this day, would love to ask Randy Moss, hey, did you ever run full speed? He is the best football player I've ever seen. Outside of Avery Atkins, the most dominant kickoff specialist until Aaron Burrell stepped on LSU's campus. Okay. Yeah, like Jaden Daniels, Mick, like, it doesn't even look like they're ever running at their full speed. Okay. But anytime I could brag about Randy Moss, especially in a super chat, I'm down. The funniest thing, though, Sam, and this has happened to a few sports radio people. So Randy Moss is also the name of the premier horse betting analyst. Okay? I'm serious. Like, he's like the Barry Melrose, Kirk Herbstreit of the horse betting world. Okay? So the funny thing about that is, like, a lot of football shows were like, see Randy Moss, a lot of social media followers, don't just DM, not even looking to see. And you can look up multiple instances of Randy Moss getting booked and then thinking it's the actual Randy Moss. Instead, it's this bald white guy. Oh, man. But Santana Moss was a beast. Le'Veon Moss was a beast, too. And you know what I'm thinking about Le'Veon Moss? You guys know how I like my running backs. All right? That's why, you know, it took me a lot to have Caden Durham as my number one player in this recruiting class. The only reason he didn't get a higher grade is because I like all my running backs thick. All right? I need size. Le'Veon Moss is a dude. I will say, though, Caden Durham is better. Flame me all you want. Caden Durham is better. Let's go to Roby. He says, we are wearing all white uniforms. Best combo. Okay? You are right. You are right. The all whites might be the best combo that we have. It is interesting, though. Texas A&M wearing the all black uniforms. We're wearing the all white uniforms. And there were... There will be plenty of jokes made about that. But the all whites look sexy. They do. All white uniforms are beautiful. All right. The only combination I can't stand is white bottom, white top, gold helmet. I think that looks so bad. I really, really, really hate that combo. All right. But the all-white icy whites, I love the all-white icy whites. I think we wore them versus A&M last year. So there you go. Now, it's funny because I actually don't mind Texas A&M's uniforms. I don't like – Maroon's not my favorite, but I don't think their uniforms are bad. But they are wearing the All Blacks this weekend. All Black uniforms, kind of hit and miss for me. No, they really are kind of hit and miss. Makes me think of New Zealand. Their rugby team, the All Blacks. And they do the haka dance before. Not going to do it. I don't disrespect other cultures. But it's definitely cool. I don't know. I'm interested to see how the A&M uniforms are going to look. I try to be as objective as I can about uniforms. I think the worst uniforms in the SEC are Alabama. I think they're by far the worst. Just bland, basic, nothing to them. Mm-mm. Can't do that. I like Georgia's uniforms. Auburn's unique. I'm trying to think if there's like a uniform I just hate. Got my little SEC helmet matrix here. Not a fan about Missouri's. I think South Carolina's are pretty cool. Tennessee's fire. I love bright orange. Can't stand burnt orange, though. Burnt orange looks like vomit. Why is it that vomit is always burnt orange? Yeah, the Ole Miss baby blues are nice. They are nice. Okay, they are nice. Now, coming up next, I do want to shout out one underrated player heading into this game next week. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to guess what? Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. All righty. Shout out to NOPOD as well. At night's about to be crazy. You know what else is about to be crazy? Kirk Herbstreit on the call. I would love to go back and look at all the Herbie called games. He was on the call for, 2022 LSU Bama? And then he was on the call for, I think, did he do Florida State last year? And then this year, I'm pretty sure he did USC. And now he's doing this one. Should be a lot of fun. Type Y for yes, type in for no. You like Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and Holly Rowe on the call. Type Y for yes, type in for no. Tulane's got the coldest unis in the boot. Yeah, 3rd and 17. They're scored. Yeah, Holly Rowe, shout out. Holly Rowe is like one thing. I don't know if she still does this. She's a color commentator for the Utah Jazz, and she gives like elite basketball analysis. I am curious, like not the play-by-play, but the actual like expert. She's good. Like she's really, really, really good. And I wish that color commentators, there's more of them that didn't actually play. Like you don't need the color commentator to be a former player from a million years ago that nobody knows. Now, I want an honest opinion on this, okay? The one player for LSU that I think has a real shot of playing a big game is Ashton Stamps, all right? So Chance pointed out that A&M doesn't have a receiver over 16 receptions this year, all right? I think that's a little misleading because Marcel Reed is just not a thrower, their backup. So there you go. But, you know, they've got weapons. You know, Noah Thomas is a good player. But this matchup does set up more nicely for Stamps, right? He gave up a touchdown last week to Andrew Armstrong. It was more of a missed assignment than him just getting beat. And it might not have been his fault. I do think it was, but I don't know the full calls. These receivers aren't to the same level, I think, as USC's receivers and a few other tougher matchups he's had, right? Of course, you know, he had some issues with Trey Harris, who doesn't. So I think this game sets up pretty nicely for him. I do think so. Now, I'm a broadcasting nerd. I just agreed to call more college basketball games on the D2 level. All right, it's like D2 JUCO level, okay? And I love doing it. I love doing play-by-play. My goal is to be in the broadcast booth for college football play-by-play in the next 5 years. I would love to do a game. I would love to do it, you know, full time, even though it would mean me missing a lot of LSU games, right? But they're all of them, basically, unless I'm actually calling them. But I would love to do televised play-by-play or play-by-play for a team. However, this was very interesting to me. I have never received so many complaints about the play-by-play and color commentator for the game this last week in Fayetteville, right? There was a lot of people bitching about them talking about Blake Baker's daughter. I don't know why that was such a big deal. Even my mom called me after the game. Now, I wasn't in the best frame of mind to talk, but she called me after the game and said, "Hey, what the hell? Who are these people?" And then there's quite a few of you that said, "Hey, be lucky you're at the game. The broadcasters were terrible." Now, the funny thing about it is when I'm watching a game, I don't really even have the volume up because I am editing and shooting a film study while the game is going on, you know, to make my work a lot easier for the next day and for the SEC channel. So please, in the comment section, I am genuinely curious if the broadcasters were really that bad for the game. Please let me know. I'm genuinely curious. Like, when I saw it was Mark Jones, I was like, Mark Jones is pretty good. And then the other broadcaster, his name is Roddy something. You know, last year, Mark Jones's broadcast partner, I think, was RG3. And nobody liked RG3. And obviously, I got into it with RG3 during the Heisman stuff. But, you know, eventually he came to his senses and switched his vote to Jaden Daniels. But, like, I guess... I don't know. I don't know. CBD, what's good? There you are in Vegas. Why didn't you link up with me in Vegas? Never find a you chance? Yeah. This is honestly truth. And the analytics tell me this as well. It's amazing how so many fans complain about the refs. All right, they complain and they say this: no one bad call lost you a game. And they get mad if you talk about the refs on YouTube, right? They're like, talk about the actual game, talk about the things you can control. And I get that, and you get that criticism sitting in this chair. You do. The funny thing about it, though, is when and I've not done a single video on this. I've tried to challenge myself to not do lowest common denominator stuff. But I kind of want to because, well, bills need to get paid. If I just had a channel where I just talked about bad officiating, it would double the views that I do on everything. People love to bitch about the referees, and people love to bitch about the broadcasters. All right, it's just the truth. The lowest common denominator fans talk about the refs and they talk about the broadcasters. All right, Georgia, Texas, was it a referee show? Yes, it was. It was. There was a weird series of events, and it was not handled right. But no one talked about how Kirby brutally outcoached Steve Sarkisian with all the blitzes and all of that. The actual players and coaches doing things. Everything was about that one call. People just love to bitch about those things. All right? They just do. And honestly, it's for two reasons. The first is, if you just complain about refs, that's like not complaining about anything specific. Yeah, if you want a broadcast that is tailored to you, put the LSU radio broadcast on. They do a good job. Chris Blair and Jacob Hester. Okay. If you want something to bitch about, go bitch about it. You can do whatever you want. But that's why so many people complain about the offensive line when it comes to offensive issues. Is that, you know, if you say, hey, our quarterback is messing up, well, everyone knows who the quarterback is. It's a very specific person. But when you complain about the offensive line, it's just a general group of people. Same thing applies to the referees. No one ever actually mentions the name of the referees. And no one ever really likes to talk about the game outside of the broadcasters. CBD, thanks for the retweet. But something else is I truly do believe that we'll have a better call because you got Chris Fowler to me is the best college football play-by-play guy. There are some others that I like a lot. Obviously, I like Gus Johnson, who doesn't. I'd love to broadcast a game. Wait, really? That's crazy. Jared, thank you for the super, as always. Ron Franklin and Mike Godfrey. They were good. I liked Ron Franklin as well. Obviously, he didn't always have the best moments, to say the least. But he was solid. He was solid. Okay. But yeah, he did some very, very sketchy. He said some very risque things. And one was actually towards Holly Rowe. Huh? Huh? It really was like the worst thing I've ever heard, but it was like, yeah. Let's go to Tyler's Tiger Talk. How different do you think the A&M Arkansas game would have gone if Wigman was starting? This is a very good question. The answer is complex because Marcel Reed and Connor Wigman are such different quarterbacks. But honestly, I feel Marcel Reed was a better quarterback for that game because, you know, the mistakes that the Arkansas secondary makes are tackling mistakes, and that's how they hit their one deep shot in the passing game. They missed a tackle, and Noah Thomas took it to the house. And Arkansas's defense was not ready for Marcel Reed's legs. But also, Connor Wigman has just made more mistakes. Like, there were some ill-advised throws in the Missouri game that should have been picked early, and that game might have been more competitive. So, versus Arkansas, Marcel Reed was probably the better option because he's just not going to turn the football over as much because he's going to run. All right? So, you know, it's tough to really say. Connor Wigman, of course, gives this offense a better ceiling with his arm. So it's tough, but, you know, that game was always going to be wacky and close, and that game is always going to end with Texas A&M winning. It's just a law. Arkansas, I think, beat them once, and that's it. Okay. Puka Nacua back tonight. I'm excited about that. What are your thoughts on this game not having the primetime broadcasters and College Game Day when it's the biggest? Well, they do have the primetime. They do have the number one broadcasters for this weekend, but I get what you're saying. Why is College Game Day not here? Okay. Well, what, College Game Day is at Notre Dame Navy? Is that right? Oh, no. They'll be at Washington, Indiana. Okay. Kyle Schwarber is the guest picker. Not bad. For you baseball fans. Yeah, I feel Washington and Indiana deserve it. I'll be honest. Do I prefer College Game Day to be at the games that my team's playing? Sure. It really doesn't have as big of an effect on me. But Chance asked, didn't get one game day at A&M Notre Dame. They might have been. Honestly, game day should have been at Navy Notre Dame. I feel like that's the biggest game this weekend. The fact that Navy and Army, I'll tell you this, you know, we still would have beat Army because Jaden Daniels, but you know, we could have played them. Could you imagine us playing this version of Army last year? That game's probably a little bit more competitive. Okay. Now, let's go to Pierce. Will we see healthy Chris Hilton this weekend? I don't care what Brian Kelly says. One of my top guys, Kevin, has hit me up saying, hey, Carter, I think Chris Hilton's going to play this weekend. Okay. Martha needs some tickets for LSU A&M. Let's do it. God, dude, this is gonna be an aesthetic. I gotta be honest, these A&M all black uniforms have grown on me. These are clean. Look at these, dude. That is tight, bro. Y'all have to admit, that's clean. I think our all whites are better because, of course. They high as Martha's trying to go to LSU A&M. Go to College Station. Good to have Martha back in the chat. The Trevante Valentine of wide receivers. I think that's unfair, obviously. And Pegasus, I know you're just making a joke in passing, but reading some more of the Brian Kelly press guy. Normally he goes at 5:30, but he started a little bit earlier. Jordan Allen dealing with turf toe. So it looks like Chris Hilton will be available. I will say Mike Elko's a good coach, man. He's a really good coach. And, you know, one thing that I do think is important, because this happened last year, is you can't ever really judge a team after 1 week. You know, LSU ended up being a really good team last year, even though we got beat by Florida State. Texas A&M did not look good versus Notre Dame. And I we'll say this until I'm blue in the face. There is no reason to play difficult season openers. There really is no reason. Okay. Play a warm-up game. Let's go to... Oh, this girl has my dog in her arms. How can you have my dog in your arms? When she's right over here. The dog that bit me earlier. Carter told me he would give away some of his favorite autographs for exchange for Eras Tour tickets. Okay. For the Sunday show. Okay. So this will... If y'all have two Sunday tickets for the Eras Tour, see, we'll give this out right here. Okay. these guys are kind of good at football. Get this out. We'll give out this Monster Milam as well. And that is his actual autograph right here. Give out this. And then my one of my top five items right here, Dylan Cruz inscription gold LSU baseball. Four. Two Air Stores tickets. I'll give a Burrow auto as well. All right. And by the way, the Dylan Cruz baseball comes with like a full, like there's like a special little case that it comes with that says all our national championships. Okay. Ask Lane. Yeah, they're expensive. Very, very expensive. But to make my significant other happy, I will give out. And honestly, those are my favorite things in my collection, right? Some of my favorite things. I have an Angel Reese signed baseball as well. I'll give out. Okay. It's for the Sunday show. So guess what? If y'all want to just go buy two tickets, I'll mail all that stuff and then some. And I'll go out to dinner with any PHLer that wants to do that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, show them feet. Now you don't want to see mine. You don't want to see these owl talons. You do not want to see that. You do not want to see these box cutters, man. These could slice some things up. You know what they gave Brian Thomas Jr. The captaincy today for the Jaguars. You're allowed to have six captains, and they gave the sixth one to BTJ. And there's a lot of like really good veteran players on that team. The team's terrible, but there's a lot of good veteran players, and they give it to a soft-spoken rookie. And number one, let you know how good he's been in that locker room. And number two, I let you know how good he's been as a player. Yeah, CBD. Look, we'll go to dinner. We'll do whatever. For two Ayers Tours tickets, you're getting all of that. Okay. Now, personally, I hope this doesn't come through. Because I don't want to lose these items. Would I like to see it? Yeah, I'll be honest. Am I a Taylor Swift fan? I am. Every time, for some reason, before I went up on stage to do stand-up, I'd always listen to the Kendrick Lamar version of Bad Blood. I don't know why that song always got me to lock in. But every time, I would have to listen at least within 15 minutes of when I had to go on stage. It would get me going. It really would. Okay. And I like Taylor. I do. I like, you know, all the extra eyeballs that have come to the game of football. I like Taylor. Okay. Do I would I melt if I never saw her live? No. Jared said, I like shake it off, shake it off. I thought the friendship bracelet they put on the Superdome was pretty cool. Amir Abdul-Rahim died. Yes, that's basketball coach. That sucks. I do want to put one note out there, and I don't think it's that big of a deal because we're still a few weeks away. Y'all, DJ Lagway might be very good. And look, it's the so for those that don't know, Florida had a two quarterback system going. So there's Graham Mertz, who's a 6-year starter, and DJ Lagway, who's a 5-star true freshman. All right. So Mertz and Lagway were splitting reps, and Mertz was playing okay, but he tore his ACL and college career is over. And that could have been the worst thing that happened to LSU because they were doing a two quarterback system. It would split the reps and the offense would be clunky. And now Lagway's getting all these reps and he looked incredible versus Kentucky. Part of why I took Kentucky was I was like, well, true freshman quarterback at his first start, but then he looked good. And I remember this like it was like clear as day roughly a decade ago when the reps were being split. I believe the quarterback's name was something Russell in Mississippi State, and the reps were being split between him and Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott was a freshman. And, you know, once Russell got out of the picture, Dak was able to get 100% of the reps. And, well, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL now. So, you know, Lagway's going to be really good, and that's going to be our last road game. It is one thing just to monitor. You know, they play Georgia, not this weekend, but the next, and they have to go Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, at Florida State. So we'll see what happens. Now, it did work well with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, but it's also, and for us, Ryan Perilloux and, of course, Matt Flynn, but they were two different styles of quarterback, as it was with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. But what happened to Tim Tebow when he got 100% of the reps? He had one of the best Heisman Trophy seasons at the time ever. Jared says, if we beat 8-4, we're blowing out everyone left for the season. I'm telling you right now, if we beat A&M, this will be one of the most impressive three-game stretches that I've seen at LSU. To go Ole Miss at Arkansas at A&M and go 3-0, would you have ever have guessed that after the South Carolina game when we were not playing good football or in the first half of the UCLA game? It's interesting.
Okay.
Now, in the next 10 to 15, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Now, this is a God's honest truth. If LSU beats A&M, the haters will be out in full force. They will be out in full force. Yeah, Roby, what is this? Are you talking about our uniforms? They need to match the color of the stripes? Let me know, Roby. Let's go, J-Red. I do think there was a bad SEC team that won back-to-back. I think Alabama did last year, but your point still remains the same. Was it Alabama? I don't know. Mm. All right. I think that's going to do it for me. Let me see. Big shout out to our top super chatter, Blake, coming in hot. I really appreciate it. Nurse Court with the big Venmo. Appreciate you. Sam, appreciate you as well. Roby, J-Red, as always, don't forget, no pregame or halftime show. We will be having a late postgame. So we'll see you then. Okay? And Power Hour, LSU. Boom! Now, as Pegasus does point out, I started my show yesterday with a crazy Pelicans rant. And what happens? Well, the Pelican God said, all right, Zion out with an illness. Let's get Deontay Murray hurt. But I will take the W. Friend of the show, Deontay Murray. And tonight, we are doing... We're doing chili. Let's go.